Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Ruined Dits, they are back in 2017 from Monday. they got a bit of choke out, got it going. And then boom, boom.
Yeah, well, three in a row.
Yeah, that's huge. You
string three together.
At
the level they work at, Snowman.
Correct.
Compared to us. You know, it's more intense. Mm. It's more informative.
I think.
More planned.
Just more.
It's more.
Just more.
More everything.
Like I said, top of 32 today for day one of Crush, where I'm sure you will see one Dittmar at many of the Adelaide Hills' finest wineries.
Oh, that's what he's, why he's, yeah.
Correct.
Oh, he's the ambassador, isn't he?
For Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
Just across
globally.
Imagine that. The global ambassador for Sauvignon Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc grapes.
I'm here.
I am there. He's a good ambassador.
All right.
And he knows his product.
He does. Hey, tragic news in Perth.
Oh, terrible. This was part of the Australia Day celebrations over in the West. A seaplane. It's a strange-looking aircraft, twin-engine, but clearly the shape of the fuselage is boat shape, and there's some floats on the wings that we can see. These amazing pictures. We've just seen it on Sunrise. So many people were able to get pictures, moving and still. Of this incident, two people on board, and it's come straight in. It's clipped a wing on the Swan River, and it is fully vertical, and boom, straight in. The pilot and a passenger. We don't know many more details than that, but both dead, and lots and thousands of people down there for the fireworks saw the whole thing.
He just came in too steep, banked hard left, and that was it. The left wing caught the water, and plane hit the water and snapped in half.
You don't expect it because you know that they're professionals and they do it all the time, but as accidents do happen.
Frantic and desperate efforts by rescuers. People just leapt into the water to try to assist and they got to the plane. It was floating, but no, the two on board, unfortunately dead. The pictures, if you...
It's incredible.
Turn on the telly and listen to us at the same time. It's remarkable that someone actually captured the whole thing.
Yeah. And from many different angles. Yeah. Many different angles.
They won't know for a while, but the investigators have got a pretty good leg in now to have those pictures to work with. But terrible tragedy on Australia Day over in the West in the fabulous city of Perth.
Absolutely. Hey, we had a few peeps over yesterday for Australia Day. Australia Day.
Oh, that's right. I was at work.
You were?
Yeah.
And could not help but watch the cricket as it unfolded.
Oh,
the one day at Travis Head and David Warner. Is that just not one of the best opening
stouches
you've seen?
Travis Head to walk into the team and go, well, what about if I just knock out 128?
Mm. Thank you very much.
And the Warner man, I mean, is he Don Bradman?
Was it 179? No, he's not. He's David Warner.
David Warner.
He's David Warner. Yeah. Don's not cryogenically frozen, then come back to life.
Sure, I'll tell you what. If the Don was here, he would love that, the work of the Warner man.
You needed it. Disappointing to see hardly anyone there, though. There weren't too many at the cricket
ball. No.
179 off 128 runs, if you don't mind. 128 balls, sorry. Just huge.
Is that the highest one-day score? I know it's...
No, you got that, didn't you?
Yes, I did, yeah. Yeah, but we played for 3 days. Yeah, it was a one day for 3 days. Yeah. 170, that would have to be up there, wouldn't it? It was the biggest opening partnership of all time.
It's the 284 run partnership is the highest by any Australian pair in a one day international, beating the 246 by Aaron Finch and Sean Marsh against Scotland.
Scotland.
In 2013.
Imagine that bowling lineup we all can't remember.
Correct. I'm surprised we haven't had a one W. Phillips call up to brag about his.
Surely he was a one day. He played, I reckon he played 50 odd one days.
Hasn't called up to tell us how good
tests.
He is and remind us.
No doubt he will.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming.
One, give two, him three, the number.
5-3 flip.
Yeah.
Incredible cricket yesterday. Tennis.
Well, the tennis is getting exciting too. We're going to have both the Williams sisters playing in the final. The last time they did that here in Australia was in 2003. Mm-hmm. They actually played in the final at the Australian Open. But they've done it about 8 times prior to this. They've actually gone to the final of a Grand Slam. So in America, here, France, and Wimbledon, of course. So they've done it before, but just amazing because... you know, they've been of lower profile as we've watched other superstars come through.
Yeah.
But suddenly, bang, hello, we're in the final, which is fantastic. Mm. And the Federer got through, the Fed Express.
Not bad.
Remarkable man. And he may end up playing, I think he might end up playing Nadal, actually.
Maybe. Depends if he beats Grigor Dimitrov.
Dimitrov, yeah. Mm. So the tennis is absolutely thrilling and exciting as well. The finals, of course, coming up on the weekend.
There you go.
Which is almost here, had we had a day off, Snowy.
6:15.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy for your, Friday it is. Friday morning it is, yes. Friday, yeah. We're here. Ruined Dits, they are back from Monday. Of course, Dits, because he's the ambassador for Sauvignon Blanc globally, he's, of course, tasting every single Savvy B in the Adelaide Hills region for Crush this weekend.
It's only 45 wineries up there.
It's a tough job, but if someone's
he'll be
got
done
to do
by
it,
lunchtime.
He should be fine. Top today of 32. If you are going to Crush, make sure you are hydrated the whole way through.
Mm.
15 degrees it is at the moment. Coming up after 8, your chance to get back in the black. All you need to do is just send your bill off to triplem.com.au and 8 o'clock this morning, 10, 1 and 2. We could be giving you the chance to share in $50,000.
How much?
Cash, $50,000 cash. Of course, the grand final of the Big Bash League is on this Saturday night, and one man who, I believe, will be commentating the game and has loved every single minute of it is, of course, the former captain of the Australian cricket team. Joins this morning, Ricky Ponting. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Very
good morning.
Well.
Well, the Scorchers v. the Sixers over at the Wacker on Saturday should be a belter, to coin a phrase.
Yeah, look, it should be another great contest. It's an amazing game, especially the last half of the Big Bash, and obviously both teams would go into the game in good form with a bit of confidence. They'll both lose some players, though, as well. Sean Lash will probably come out, well, he will come out of the Scorchers team because he'll be going to New Zealand with the Aussie boys. And Colin Munro will come out of the Sixers side because he's been selected for New Zealand as well. So they're both their number three batsmen.
Yeah.
So interesting contest coming up, yeah.
Hey, Ricky, you played a lot of one day and all that sort of thing. When you were playing at that level, did you ever sort of contemplate that this would emerge, this sort of game, and more to the point, it'd be as big as it's become?
No, not in my wildest dreams that I think that T20 cricket would sort of dominate world cricket like it is right now, because that's really what's happening. It really is the format of the game that everyone wants to watch and everyone talks about, and especially the Big Bash for a domestic competition to really sort of take over the landscape in Australian cricket for that 6 or 7 week period like it does is quite remarkable. Well, I mean, when the game first started being played internationally, I always thought it was just going to be used as a marketing tool for the other forms of the game, really, and then, you know, the last couple of years has just exploded and taken off. And, you know, the numbers again this year with attendances and viewership and stuff's been incredible again. So the game just keeps growing from strength to strength.
It's been a massive good fit over here in Adelaide with the beautiful Adelaide Oval, the way it's turned out after the renos. And then this game comes along and Adelaide people just go, you beauty. Mm. And, you've been there and it just fills up like that.
Well, every ground does, but Adelaide seems to be extra special for T20 cricket now, and I guess on the back of the AFL as well, with having the Crows and Port playing. I mean, I went over for Adelaide Crows North Melbourne final, and the atmosphere around the stadium was just unbelievable that night. And then obviously, I get to feel it a couple of times a year with the Big Bash games as well. It's a remarkable stadium now. The Adelaide people obviously are supporting in Adelaide, and unfortunately, this year the Strikers didn't have a great season, but you can still guarantee they're going to sell the stadiums out.
Hey, Ricky, do you reckon it's put a bit of pressure on the Aussie cricketers because Warner and Travis Head came out yesterday like they were playing T20?
Yes.
Yeah, well, both those guys only know one way, don't they? They're both also just these players. And, I mean, I can't remember. I actually sat back and watched a bit of that partnership unfold, and that was remarkable batting. And you can see what, you know, the way that Warner plays, I mean, if you remember back to when he was first selected for Australia, that was on the back of a couple of T20 internationals that he played, and then all of a sudden he found himself in a one-day team, and then he was in the New South Wales Shield team, and all of a sudden he's playing Test cricket for Australia. And he's, the story of David Warner and his cricket over the last couple of years is remarkable. So
it is a ripper story.
It was great to see those guys yesterday, yeah.
Hey, Ricky, do you think, and take Dave Warner as a great example, who still loves his Test cricket, but are we starting to see the influence of the T20 in Test? People are, you know, I mean, he did a ton in a session. Do you think the Test cricket will change as more and more players play the Big Bash, and we'll see more of that swashbuckling, you know, the old David Hook style of cricket, more in Test matches?
Yeah, look, I probably think we already are. I think the the scoring rates, certainly in Australia, have been probably a bit higher the last couple of years in Test cricket. I mean, you're seeing, you know, the Virender Sehwags that, you know, used to open the bank for India, like obviously David Warner now, they're not conventional, if you like, Test match opening batsmen, but they're finding a way to have success in all forms of the game. And I mean, Davies is not just having success; he's one of the great players in the world right now across all formats of the game. So, yeah, look, I think because you play so much of the short form game, of course, it's going to influence some part of your Test cricket as well. And I think with Davies, just the guys are used to scoring fast, and he scores nice and fast at Test cricket level as well.
So we'll have 2.5 day Tests from here on in.
Well, we could very well. It's either that, or we just have very high scoring Test matches that go for 4 or 5 days. Yeah.
Australia all out for 1,033. Hey, Ricky,
Ricky, in a day and a half. Yeah.
Mate, thanks for your time this morning. The Big Bash League Grand Final Sunday night, of course, on Channel 10. Hopefully, Howie won't give away any more little tips while commentating.
let's hope not. Yeah.
Good on you, mate. Thanks very much. Former cricketing captain and superstar of the Australian cricket team, Ricky Ponting, with the Big Bash League Saturday night on Channel 10.
Triple M.
It is your Friday morning. Different voices. It's JR and Snowy filling in for Ruined. It's 8:09. It is on 104.7 Triple M. Top today of 32 degrees, 17 degrees. It is at the moment, and drama, a little bit of drama all over the country yesterday, John.
Yeah, Australia Day, a great day it was, beautiful day here. A lot of people went down to the beaches. Some got turned away, got overcrowded down at Moana and the drive-on beaches down there. Generally a good day. Sydney and Melbourne, big anti-Australia Day rallies were held there. In Sydney, it got pretty nasty. Mm.
The majority of people that participated were protesting peacefully. We had one male person who was seen to pour an accelerant over an Australian flag and about to light it. Within close proximity were a number of women and children, so police used a fire extinguisher to stop the man from lighting the flag. Another man intervened, and in the process of arresting him, the police officer injured his ankle, and also a woman was knocked to the ground and suffered severe concussion and is currently in the hospital for under observation.
Last night here we had the Australia Day parade, King William Street near Elder Park, and quite a big group of anti-Australia Day protesters, I think they numbered about 300 or so, got involved and actually halted the parade. Our Stacey Lee from Channel 7 was there. Stace, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Got pretty willing there at one point.
Yeah, it did. At first, it started off peaceful. The protesters kind of gathered further down King William Street, closer to the Oval, and they were there with their signs and they were chanting, and that was fine. And then they started to move up the road, so they prevented the parade from coming down, but parade organisers just sort of moved them to the side. So the parade went up onto the footpath a little bit, so it was still going ahead. And then at one stage, it got quite heated when the protesters tried to stop the Ukraine car, because it was an international protest. So there was representatives from Korea and China and the Ukraine and the Muslim Women's Association of South Australia. So it was a really inclusive parade where everybody could sort of get involved and celebrate Australia Day together. But the protesters did try and stop the Ukraine car from getting any further. And there was a few heated moments there where some other punters who were there watching the parade got involved, and they kind of had a bit of a stoush in front of the car, but there was no violence and there were no punches thrown or anything like that. There were a lot of police on scene and they were monitoring it very, very closely. And then after that, the protesters continued to move up the road, and eventually they blocked the whole road and the parade had to be turned around. And so it couldn't finish. And then the protesters continued up and down North Terrace towards the Morfitt Street Bridge, which the police weren't aware of. So the traffic there on North Terrace was halted. The trams had stopped, all the buses and the cars that were there on North Terrace. And this was at about 7 o'clock, so sort of, you know, peak hour in the city. Yeah. And it caused a bit of an inconvenience, but then they finished at the Morfitt Street Bridge and some more chanting and some more shouting in a megaphone and ended peacefully at about 8:30.
Well, I was watching your cross into Seven News last night, of course, from the safety of the studio. and when you did your piece, I don't know whether you were aware, but the protesters came right, they realised they were on telly, and they came right down very, very close behind you. Were you aware they were that close to you?
I could feel a presence behind me, but I definitely didn't know what was going on. And because we were right there in the thick of it, in the getting involved in the march, and there was lots of chanting, and it was getting pretty rowdy, and I actually couldn't even hear the studio in my ear, so I don't know how it looked. I don't know how it went to it.
It came across loud and clear, but there was someone with a massive flag, and I thought they were just about to wrap it right around you, and like a disappearing act, and we suddenly lose Stacey behind the screen.
It was quite surreal, to be honest. You know, when there's scenes like that, we're sort of, as the media, kept further away. But I think even in this case, the police were surprised at the turnout. They weren't expecting that many people to turn up. There was more than about 300, I reckon probably even more, could be closer to 500 protesters that turned up in the end.
Wow.
And it did come as quite a shock, although there were a lot of police there, and obviously, they called in reinforcements once the crowd started to get a bit bigger and a bit more rowdy and a bit louder. Mm. So there were a lot of officers there monitoring it as well.
But the good news, and interestingly, I found the fireworks still went ahead, which was later, admittedly, but the parade was halted, but the fireworks continued on.
Yeah, the concert still started at 7 o'clock as usual. The parade, yeah, like you said, didn't quite get there, not all of it. The fireworks still went ahead. There was actually a really interesting moment during the march, during this protest, where the F-18, someone out there will correct me if it's incorrect, but the jets flew above the parade and the concert, and then they were letting off the cannons from the barracks just across the road there at Elder Park.
Oh yeah.
And we didn't know what it was. We just heard this loud banging, and we were following protesters, and we're going, "Oh wow, what's happening? This just took a really bad turn. It's been non-violent so far." And then we realised it was the cannon from the parade, and all was well.
Fighter jets and cannons, not a good mix for Australia Day parade.
It was an interesting mix, yeah.
Well, Stace, I suppose it does beg the question: should the date be changed? Because people are coming out now and saying that they should change the date, that we shouldn't be celebrating Australia Day on the 26th.
It's now becoming a bigger issue.
Mm, it is, especially after 500 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And even interstate, there was more. They had thousands in Melbourne and Sydney. And as you heard, this one protest in Sydney got a bit more violent. I guess it's really a federal government thing. It's now gone to the politicians, and it's up to them. There's also a couple of I can't even think, surveys where you put your name down on doing the rounds on social media. Some people want to change the date of Australia Day to May 8th.
Yeah, there's a couple in the mix,
the May Day.
Yeah.
The May Day.
Thanks, Stacey. We'll let you go. Stacey Lee there from Channel 7 and now our own Triple M. Maybe let's go to the phones, 133353. Are you for or against actually the date being changed on Australia Day?
Mm. Well, there was a few in the mix. The day we became Australia, we actually became Australia as one.
Mm-hmm.
The day we celebrate is when the POMs arrived and basically took over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully understand what the protesters are on about because, but you know, then on the other side of that, it was the time of expansion. You had Spain and the Dutch and the French all spreading out across the world and. Mm-hmm. And what they did, they claimed other people's land.
Yep.
Now, it's a long time since that happened, so we've probably forgotten that. But that's what it was. But it was a part of this expansion. A lot of people didn't know Australia was there. So it was almost a stroke of luck that
they found
it. They came down and said, well, this looks all right.
Mm.
But whether that's right or wrong is the debate. So to mark the day as Australia Day when they arrived and landed in Sydney Cove and said, right, we're here, up goes the Union Jack, it's ours.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a fair point to debate.
Triple M are going to help you start 2017. Back in the black. We're handing back $100,000 to Aussies just like you.
That's awesome. Thank you, Triple M.
Step one, send the bill you want us to pay via triplem.com.au. Step two, listen to Triple M tomorrow. This is normally where we'd insert step three, but there isn't one.
Triple M's Back in the Black.
Putting cash back in your wallet tomorrow at 8, 10, 1 and 2.
Mate, that's great. Thanks for that.
Great things happen when Triple M's on at your work.
Thanks for getting me back in the black.
Oh, very good morning, Andre. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, mate?
G'day.
Pleasure, as always.
Good, mate. Hey, Henri, what an end of tennis it is turning out to be, my friend.
Oh, what a tournament. I love it. You know, the first Grand Slam of the year, and then suddenly we have some big surprise, and we're probably going to see maybe a final from Back to the Future. You know, something with Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer, the way he played yesterday. It was a tough match. But he did well to, you know, to finish it.
Mm. So, what are you predicting for the final? Roger against who, Henri?
I think you know that's first of all on the paper. You think that you know Rafael Nadal is playing so well and coming back. He has found his game again.
Yeah,
playing you know really strong. And then on the other hand, you have Dimitrov, who's you know unbeatable already for this year. Won Brisbane, coming here, very confident. And he has maybe the opportunity to go to the final of the Australian Open.
Mm.
But definitely, I think then Rafa is a favourite.
Yeah, I think so. Rafa's got an interesting setup in his game, hasn't he? When he's sitting down and when he's about to serve, he sort of touches his face and his ears, and he does it exactly the same every time. And his drink bottles, he has to have them in a straight line by his feet when he has a break. Is that normal? Is that common?
You know, we used to have some players like Ivan Lendl who was teaching his eyes before the match, or was John McEnroe just doing crazy things before also. They all have some different issues and different, you know, style. But anyway, that's the way he is. And I mean, coming back after, you know, like Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal after have so many, not injuries, but away for about, you know, 4 months, and coming back with such a great tennis, and also they have improved their game. You know, they changed the game a little bit.
Mm.
They're still very passionate, but still coming more to the net, and I think that's the big difference.
Yeah, of course. In the ladies too, the Williams sisters back together again in a final.
Yes.
They haven't done it since 2003 at the Australian Open, but they've done it plenty of other times. It's remarkable, isn't it?
It's remarkable from Venus. I mean, for what happened to her, still, you know, the she was very sick, and she still, I mean, she's fighting really hard and coming back and play the best tennis, and it's just magnificent. I mean, it's impressive, and after two sisters in the final, who could you sign for that before the tournament?
Mm.
She really deserved it, and of course, Serena, she's the favorite, but you never know in tennis. You never know with what's going to happen, but anyway, great achievement.
Yeah. No, as you said, as Snowy said at the start, what a fantastic end to a great tournament, the Australian Open.
I love it.
Live and free on 7, of course. All coming up on what is going to be a magnificent weekend of tennis.
Who is your tip, Andre? Who do you think is going to win out of Roger or Rafa if it ends up that way?
If it's Roger or Rafa, that is a tough pick, but I think Roger has a big opportunity this year. On the other hand, you have also Dimitrov, who's playing really well, and he has great tennis. He's a, like we say, baby Federer. Does he have the potential and the power and the capability to beat Rafa? We'll see. But anyway, that would be a great final for both. Could be ladies and men. I love that kind of, you know, the tournament and the Grand Slams. And so then we're back a little bit in old days, and we didn't know who was going to win.
Beautiful stuff. Yeah. Henri, thank you so much for your time this morning, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. It was always a pleasure.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
It's JR and Snowy filling in for Ruin Dits. Top of 32 today, a ripper day.
Mm.
Yesterday was just gorgeous. 15 degrees it is at the moment. Johnny Boy, perusing the internet the other night.
Yes.
On news.com.au.
Mm-hmm.
And something caught my eye, and it took me into another website, and it was dodgy returns.
Oh, sorry. I thought
no.
You're going really to the dark side.
Oh, no.
Mm.
Dodgy returns. Mm. And the story was along the lines of a man's wife had an item that they had not paid for, but actually the husband had said to the wife, you know, what are we going to do with this? Let's put it on, I think it was Craigslist they have in America.
Mm.
We'll put it on there. We'll try and get rid of it. She said, no. I'm going to take it to the hardware store and get the cash.
and it, where it probably hadn't come
it
from.
It hadn't come from.
Oh.
Right, so it hadn't come from there. They'd been given this item.
Mm.
They decided they didn't want it. He decided, well, let's just put it on like eBay or whatever it else, and we'll get rid of it. She says, no, 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 no. That's a hardware item. I'm going to take it to the local hardware store, and I'm going to get cash.
How much? What sort of value were we talking on this item?
I think we're talking $500-odd.
Oh.
Yeah, and it was like a something you put up in your bathroom where you've got the heat lights and the fan and all that sort of stuff.
A flash one.
Yeah. So he goes, well, okay, if you're comfortable to do that, I'm not, but if you're prepared to do that, then go for it.
So there's no ticket on it? There's no...
No receipt.
No receipt.
No ticket, no nothing.
Oh, that's
so
great.
There's no proof of purchase at all whatsoever.
I thought you'd need at least something.
Well, you'd think so.
You'd think.
The young lady waltzes into whatever hardware store it was in a nearby vicinity, takes in this big overhead fan slash light thing that you put in your bathroom, and then proceeds to get a return of $675 as a credit exchange in regards to the said item. So she comes home and goes, look at this. The hardware
Here's
store.
Here's what I've done.
Yeah, they've taken the item, right? And it was a few years old too,
Dude,
I must admit.
That's ballsy because the hardware could have said, well, we've never stocked these.
No. She was smart enough to realise they did stock this particular item.
A bit of homework.
Yeah. The box was a bit tatty. It had never been used. It was completely brand new.
Right.
It had never been used. But it was given to them.
So they put that back on the shelf?
Back on the shelf. Well, possibly. Or they maybe send it back to whatever company it was and say, look, the box is a bit crap.
Which part of China it came from.
Yeah, give us a credit return now.
Right.
So, but she's got the full retail. So now there's a $675 credit.
Let's go shopping.
Correct. And I'm sitting there thinking that is ingenious because we've got a whole lot of shit left over at home that we can get rid of.
All right, Bunnings or Masters not around anymore.
No.
All the others, 10. Home hardware is what I'm trying to say. look out because the snowman's coming.
No.
Lots of leftovers.
No. I'll send the bride in to do that. She's more convincing than me. But I just want to know 133353, and it is Friday. We understand a lot of people taking today off.
Really?
So no one's particularly listening to us right at this particular time. Have you done a dodgy return? Have you been given something?
Oh, yeah.
Or someone, you know of someone that's got something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it. They think, oh, it's brand new. It's not out of the box. Who sells this? Where do I take it to? Have you done the dodgy return?
And you plan the whole campaign.
Correct.
The scheme.
Have you got away with it? Love to know if you have on 133353. We may just give, what are we going to give? We'll give.
What have you got up your sleeve?
Nothing. No, we're not going to give you anything.
Oh.
133353 though. Have you done a dodgy return or is it someone that you know has done the dodgy return? Are women better at doing the dodgy return than men?
You would have done a dodgy return.
I have not done a dodgy return.
You?
Nope.
It's your middle name.
Return?
No, don't you.
133353.
104.7 Triple M.
JR and Snowy filling in for Ruined Its, or is it Ruined Its fills in for us?
That's right. We're here indiscriminately over the year, scattered over a number of weeks. So, yeah, they're the fill-ins.
They are back Monday, the
fill-in team. Which is not to work most of the year.
No. Good deal. Hey, no, they are back. The legends, the ambassador for Sauvignon Blanc, Ditz, back on Monday with Rue. Talking about dodgy returns, read an article where a young lady returned an item to a hardware store that was gifted to them.
Mm.
They didn't want it. They thought, should we sell it on eBay? No, I'll take it to the hardware store and I'll get a credit note. $675 later. She's a happy, happy lady. Want to know about your dodgy returns? Come to yours in just a sec.
Mm.
We do have those. Scotty of Hillbank. Good morning, Scott. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. What a great day it is. It's great to be alive.
It is a ripper, isn't it?
Now,
it's fantastic.
Scott, are you working today or are you going to have a day off?
No, mate, I'm working. I'm in my ute now, getting ready to go to my first place.
Oh, good man. Good man. Didn't chuck a sickie on the day after Australia Day. Well done.
No, mate, I work for myself, so
to work. Hey, what was your dodgy return, Scott?
A number of years ago now, it was when one of the gaming consoles was a big flop. I can't remember what it was now. I think it may have been the Sega Saturn.
Yeah, right.
I happened to walk into one of the gaming places that were selling them, and they were flogging them off for $40 each just to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly did my homework and went back and bought the last three. Then I went back to the department stores who still had them at the original price of $350. And I went to three different department stores and I got three $50 credits. Plus, I bought the latest console, so eventually I got it for $40.
Oh, brilliant effort.
Well, Scotty.
I know.
Up there for thinking.
Mate,
it was.
We're going to give you a double pass to Wallace Cinemas. It has been stamped complimentary.
Yeah. Oh,
fantastic. You can't sell it, mate. You can't sell it.
Well done. Thanks, Scotty.
Well done, Scotty.
Enjoy your day. The own newsreader with the mostest over there.
Yeah.
Dodgy?
Not me. Well, not me. No, no. Mate of mine. Back in the day when we were surfing, you know, down on the coast every weekend, we all drove Holden station wagons. They were the key to it. You know, you could sleep in the back and throw your board and all sort of. Mate of mine had, and back then the Holden, your lowest of the low was the Belmont.
Oh.
Then there was the Kingswood.
Yes.
And then you had the Premier. None of us ever had the Premier.
Of course not.
We're all in the Belmont range. Mm. So he has the great scheme. He had it for a while and he wanted to move on to the next one. And so he turned his Belmont into a Kingswood. Went around to all the wreckers and you know.
Got the badges.
Got the badges, some of the interior fittings that the Kingswood had, some little bit of vinyl on the on the central pillar. You cover that instead of the normal paint that the Belmont had.
Yes.
In the back, the Belmont just had basic cardboard, you know, the Kingswood had the coloured sort of stuff and in the back of the wagon part. So that was all just spray painted very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Some extra little bits of chrome here and there, different or better mirrors.
Sell quickly?
Sold like hotcakes. Kingswood. For that price,
I'll take
hand
that.
It over. I think he sold it in about an hour.
Wow.
Because it was suddenly a Kingswood.
Kingswood.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.